And we're here again on the Christmas edition of the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio. Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Detroit Lions football. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Ken Brown. Merry Christmas and
Merry
Happy
Christmas,
New Year.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. I want to say a full week after Christmas. And this is the weird part. Usually now we'd be talking about the last game of the year.
Yep.
But now they added a 17th game and moved everything back a week. We are now talking about game number 15. Well, game number 16 of a 17-game season. So we still got another week left to go.
That's a little – and the season's going to end on what, the 9th of January?
Yeah,
January. I mean, that's happened before, but it just seems different. It really does.
I was looking at something last night because we're going to talk about John Madden in a minute. I was looking at the 1970, the year he won the Super Bowl. It was the 77 Super Bowl for the 76 season. The Super Bowl was like January 9th, or the AFC Championship game. The Super Bowl was like January 9th. They played a 14-game season that started in September. And they had three rounds of playoffs. It wasn't the big wild card. They won two games. They beat, I forgot who they beat, and then they beat Pittsburgh in the conference championship. And they Minnesota Vikings, the Super Bowl was January 9th.
Yeah, I never even thought about that. But, yeah, that's quite different than it is now, that's for sure.
Yeah, the 14-game seasons, and now you had 17-game seasons plus, extra team in the playoffs. I'm tell you what's going to happen. And
plus one other thing too, Kenny, they start the games after Labor Day too, because a lot of fans were gone on Labor Day. They didn't go to games, so they've moved it back and they start after Labor Day.
Well, I guarantee
that's an extra week.
Right, but I guarantee you when that game, I'm kind of figuring it'll be January 23rd.
What game?
The NFC Championship game, if it's January 23rd, and if it's played in Green Bay, and that game is an abomination because of the weather and the lateness of the year, then they'll do something. Because
they won't.
I'm telling you right now, you shouldn't be playing outside at a stadium like that and try to get a true game at the end of January anywhere. I mean, it's just crazy. I think they elongated this season for money, and I don't like it at all. Now, if you're going to have a longer season, then start it earlier.
They had a Super Bowl in New York like 5 years ago.
And they luckily got out with good weather or decent weather. Now, that could have been a disaster. But, Mike, there's not going to be good weather if January 23rd in Green Bay. It's just not going to happen. And like I said, I hope it's the worst weather in the world. I hope it's 50 below zero and a big snowstorm. I just want to see the worst you could have to tell these guys that are just going for corporate money, that you can't be elongating these seasons like this. I heard what they wanted to do is get the Super Bowl into February for sweeps. The networks wanted it into February instead of January. And if they let them do that, then we're going to have problems. We're going to have problems.
Well, that's what you say, but look, you're talking about the bad weather ruining the game and all that. Have you forgotten about the Ice Bowl, the Cowboys and the Packers, the frozen tundra? That's one of the most renowned football games of all time.
For people,
it was renowned
because there was no TV back then. They watched it barely. It was barely
what
TV.
Mean there was no
if
TV?
You had to put that game on TV today, Mike, the exact same game, would get lettered. Back then, TV wasn't like TV today. That game, I bet, had about a 12 share, and that was good for the NFL back then. Okay, I'll tell you what. We'll check back next week. Over this week, I'm going to get you the ratings of that game. I guarantee that the NFL in 1967 ratings were not that big.
I'll bet you they were higher. You know why? Because there were only three stations. There was no internet.
Yeah, but it was a 1 o'clock game.
There was no cable TV.
But the whole NFL wasn't that big. Baseball was the big sport then, but football wasn't the big sport then.
Baseball was not the big sport in January.
Overall, it was the big sport. Well, we'll see. Look, I'm not even going to argue about it. We'll see. I'm going to tell you right now. That's why.
You know what? You've made up an argument that you're going to lose.
Do you even see videos of that game? You see a player, too. You don't even see the whole game.
Yes, I saw the whole game.
Nobody cares about that game. And it was a terrible game. The only reason it's romanticized is because of the sneak and everything. It was a terrible game to watch. It was a terrible game and a terrible element. And I'm going to tell you what. I bet we go back to the time. What month and day do you think that game was on? That was a December,
I don't remember,
early January.
Let me ask you. Let me ask you a question right now, right here in this, in 2021, in December of 2021. How old are you?
I'm 100.
How old are you?
I'm 100. I'm 50.
So you know why you don't want to answer? Because you weren't even alive when that game was played.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't
matter. Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
All right, fine.
Kenny Brown. Shame on you for
Mike
making
O'Hare,
up an argument that you can't win.
The romanticizer of all that is football.
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens. But I don't want to – see, we didn't went too far into this. I was trying to get to the Lions. We went too far. But might as well talk about John Madden first before we
This
go
is a
on.
Good time to back off because you're wrong.
No, I'm not
let's
wrong.
Move along.
We'll talk about it. Like
let's,
I said,
let's move along,
football
Brown.
Back then was about the – fans, 20,000 guys in the stands and a bunch of guys yelling. And that's all it was. Now football is an international game, and they better not
international.
Blow it. Yes, they better not blow it. They better not
international.
Blow it. The Super Bowl is international. That's a worldwide event.
Let's move along, all okay, right. Before you get deeper in debt here.
You don't think the Super Bowl is a worldwide event? Did you see the numbers of the worldwide numbers? Of,
I think it's to a degree, but it's not like the World Cup.
It's not like soccer,
not like
no.
The
but world. It's still a world event now. Anyway, John Madden passes away, and I'm telling you, man, when things like this happen, it's just weird because on Christmas Day they had his a bio documentary, which I didn't think was that great. I'm sorry, everybody told me how great it was. I didn't think it was that great. I thought the Football Lives on NFL Network and the one about Madden were better than that thing. I didn't think it was that great. I think they skimmed over a lot and they tried to go through things too fast. And, you know, I just didn't like it. But it was a nice tribute to John Madden. And he saw it. And I heard he asked people what they thought of it. And then he passed away in his sleep, I guess.
No, he was yesterday. On his way to a doctor's appointment.
Is that where he was? Okay.
Yeah, in fact, I exchanged texts with Matt Millen today. They were very, very close, and that's what he told me. He was on his way to a doctor's appointment.
Wow. So he had some health challenges in the last few years, right?
Apparently, yeah.
But I don't want to get deep into it. Maybe another time we'll get deep into him. But just give me your impressions of John Madden, and I'll give you mine.
Well, I just think that he was a man for any setting and any scene. He proved that. He was an assistant coach, as a young head coach, 10 years, and look at the record he compiled. I was a selector for the Hall of Fame when he came up, and there was a lot of people who thought that he was overrated because of the talent he had on those Raiders teams and how many of those players, you know, went on to become Hall of Famers. And the presenter, I forget who it was right now, came up with all the statistics and his record against Hall of Fame coaches, against Super Bowl winners. It was absolutely astonishing how well he did, how well he matched up with in competing against his peers. And that convinced me right then and there. I was probably going to vote for him anyway, but that ended any doubt that it wasn't just how many games he won, but who he beat to get that one loss record of his. And so, yeah, I thought in that regard, the Madden, the broadcasting stuff, he was terrific. He really was. He did it with common sense. I mean, one of the things I always remember about him is when they'd have like a measurement on fourth and one, and did he get it? And Madden would say, he'd watch the linesman come in to spot the ball, and he'd say, it depends on whether he's right-footed or left-footed. If he's right-footed, he made it. If he's left-footed, he didn't. Yeah. You know, it's just common sense stuff about him. So I thought, I thought he was really an amazing person. I really do.
Yeah, my impressions of him were, if he had been in the NFC, he would have way more rings than he had, I think, or he would have been to more Super Bowls. Because
what does that have to do with him?
Well, I'm about to tell you. Everybody talks about he only made one Super Bowl with the town. This is pretty much what you're saying. But he had to go through Pittsburgh every year, man. The AFC was a gauntlet back then. I mean, it was to get the one ring and to be in, I think he had three or four, five out of six, they said, going to the conference championship games, even though he lost them. I mean, man, Mike, that was tough. There were teams, man. There were super teams in that division, you know, in that league. So if he'd have been in the NFC and went to the Super Bowl five times like Minnesota and won one, nobody would be talking about it. It wouldn't have been any question, because I'm guaranteeing you, he'd have been in you put Minnesota in the AFC and Oakland in the NFC. He's doing all those four Super Bowls that Minnesota went to, plus, and he'd have won. It was just, that's how good that team was. over that stretch of time. What is it, 132 or 100 and something and 32? I mean, he was a great coach. I like those coaches back then, not these corporate button-up coaches where you got to wear the Nike wear or you got to wear whatever the wear of the day is. When he had that big tie on and the shirt was flopping out, and he had the big Sansibel pants. That's the way coaches used to – that I loved that, his sideline demeanor.
Well, the other thing about him, too, he always had his credential on his belt.
Hanging off his belt,
just,
right.
Just like a meeting. I always thought – I made a joke about him, but he looked like a couch that somebody put out picked up by the Salvation Army or something
right.
like that.
But –
I remember I covered a bunch of their games, Kenny. When I was working for the Detroit News, and we really covered a lot of stuff in those days. And it was a playoff, an overtime playoff game. And somebody asked him about the fifth quarter, and he said, "Fifth period. You can't have five quarters." Just that sharp.
You know? Real sharp guy. Now, I interviewed him one time. I sat right next to him and interviewed him one time. It was a highlight. It was one of the Super Bowl games, and me and Mitch, we did an interview with him. I'm going to pull that out next year when I get back to work, and we'll probably play it. And all I can remember, Mike, the whole time I'm interviewing him is looking at his hands. He's got that big Super Bowl ring on. It looks like an orange.
Yep.
And he's got these big, meaty hands, and he was the nicest guy, man, really the nice guy. And like you said, very intelligent.
Very, yeah, very. Yeah. And he knew people, too. He knew the people in the boxing world. Matt Nolan told me one time they're in New York together, and they had dinner with who the heck was it? The Queen of Soul,
Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin, yeah. In fact, when she walked in, Matt said Nolan stood up, or not Nolan, but John stood up and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Queen of Soul."
Oh well, like I said,
cool
rest,
dude.
Rest in peace, Matt Miller. I mean,
yep.
This is another thing too. And they didn't say it in any of these things you see or hear, but they were talking about who were some of the announcers that, you know, were his under, that came up under him, and they were talking about Troy Aikman and all these other guys. They left out one name, man. If Matt Millen doesn't take Detroit job, he's Madden's successor.
Absolutely.
He was on that track, and he was the next thing coming through. He wouldn't have been as big as Madden, but I'm just saying, he was the guy who would have been the successor.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
No
they
doubt
were
about
very,
it.
Very close. They really
no
were.
Doubt about it. And so that's what that was. But anyway, John Madden, 85 years old. Now, I hate to segue from that to this, but we have to get to the Lions. We haven't talked about the Lions. We've been on probably 10 minutes already.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not a tanker. But then again, I am a tanker. But since there's no quarterback, I'm not a tanker.
Kenny, just admit it.
I'm not a tanker this year because there's no quarterback. If there was a, if there was
it's
a,
in your DNA.
If there was an Elway there, or if there was a, you know, a Andrew Luck, or if there was a Joe Burrow even there, then I'm ready. You can call me Tankathon. I'm ready to swim. But since there's no quarterback in the top five, I don't care. I want them to win every game. And I'm gonna tell you right now, Tim Boyle, they shouldn't even let him on the plane. Shouldn't even let him on the plane back to town. The most horrible throw of his horrible throws he's made in the two starts he's made on first down when you're trying to win a game. I just don't understand it. I don't know who told him that. I don't know who told him he was whoever he thought he was. But I tell you, and I've said it on this podcast 200 times, that backup quarterback is the sixth most important position on the team. And they better get a backup that can win games for him next year. Kim Brown has spoken. You may speak.
Well, I don't believe that. I believe backup quarterback is an important position, but certainly not in the top six. I mean, my God,
well,
that's ridiculous.
That's why I prefaced it with Kim Brown said.
I know. Right. Nobody else would agree with you.
That's all right. That's right. Keep not believing. Keep not believing.
But I'm not saying it's not important.
You asked the Baltimore Colts today, Baltimore Ravens right now, what a backup quarterback is what – most important position on their team right now. Backup quarterback probably cost them the playoffs if they don't make it.
Well, okay. Yeah, okay. Right. So?
So it's more important than just getting a guy to fill a uniform out. And that's what the Lions have been doing since the last backup quarterback to me that could win a game was the one with Stafford. What was his name?
Sean Hill.
Sean Hill. That was the last guy that I could say he's won games in the league. He's proven backup. That's the last guy they've had. And what year was
he
that?
He was 2010, the last
right.
The last four games of the season. They won all four. and that is the last backup quarterback to win a game for the Detroit Lions.
Right. But when he got here, he had proven he could win games. He had been on Arizona.
Well, he'd been a starter.
Right.
He was a starter for the 49ers.
So if I have a football team, he is the least of a backup quarterback I will have. It's him, a guy with his credentials are better. And that's what they need to think about next year. None of this, whoever the cheapest contract we can get to get a guy in there just to get some guy from here, or a 12th-round draft pick or something. I'm just saying there's no 12, but a 12th-round draft pick, and we're going to have him to back him. No, get a backup that can win a game. Because that game was there to win.
I think that you mentioned first down. The balls, it's first and goal at the 9-yard line with 39 seconds left. You can run 8 plays, 39 seconds.
Sure.
You really can.
Sure.
Easily. Now, he can't do it if they're all running plays and you get tackled every time he's out left. But I just thought this, that unless you're absolutely sure on first down, don't throw it. Because you got 3 more shots at it.
Man, I'm hitting somebody in those bleachers. I'm hitting somebody in those bleachers, Mike.
Whatever. Just be absolutely sure.
Yeah, I'm not even risking it. And like I said, he threw for 77 yards his first game. He threw for 170-something this game. If he can't even get over 200 yards. And I'm telling you right now, I thought he passed as well as he could, except for a couple misses early, to get 177 yards. He's just not good. He's not good. Okay?
One thing that stood out to me in that game, too, and I looked these statistics up, he's played 2 games now for the Detroit Lions. I'm not counting, that one play he was in for 2 weeks ago when Jared went out.
Yeah, exactly,
briefly. But, he's thrown, 67 passes, I think it is, something like that. He's played 2 full games. He hasn't been sacked, and he hasn't run once.
Yeah,
I don't think there's probably any quarterback in the league who's played 2 games without being sacked or running. I don't know what it means. Probably nothing, but it's just a little statistic that really just kind of fascinates me for whatever reason.
Well, I'm done talking about him. I'm done talking.
No, you're not.
As a matter of fact, that's too much oxygen we've given him already. All right,
that's not fair.
Let's talk about a couple of good things that I did see. And I saw Kyle Pitts play. He was the 4th pick, I believe, in Atlanta.
Yeah.
To me, he's going to be a receiver. I don't think he's a tight end. Good player, but he's not getting touchdowns. Well, I think I read he has 1 touchdown this year. Maybe I may be wrong on that, but that's what I read.
Right.
I know he didn't have any the other day. He had 100 yards receiving. Good player. Maybe even a real all-star. But, give me Penny Sewell any day. I'm going with the lineman. I'm sorry. Give me Penny Sewell any day.
This is contrary to what you've said before, though, that if you're going to draft that high, get me a player who can score touchdowns.
Yeah, if there's one there.
Remember that?
Right. But
remember that?
But Kyle Pitts is not scoring touchdowns, so that's my point. That's the point I was trying to make. He's not scoring touchdowns.
He's already got – he's almost at 1,000 yards receiving now. He's very, very close to it. He'll score touchdowns, believe me.
Well, are they, Mike?
Okay, he's a rookie on a bad team.
Okay, it happens. He's got a pro, semi, almost Pro Bowl quarterback. If he was not now, he was. He's no excuse for him not to have at least 8 touchdowns. At least six.
Kenny, come on, you know better than that. You've got to throw him the ball in a position where he can score.
I understand, but
as you know, the wide receiver is the most needy position in football.
I understand.
You can only do what they give you to do.
I saw a stat. Matter of fact, speaking of that, I saw a stat before I came over. I got to digress for 1 second. It was a New York writer.
Please do.
A New York writer wrote about it. Kenny Golladay has no touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
And they said for $18 million, I see why the Lions didn't sign him. And I was trying to tell people, he's a good player. But you got to put the Matt Stafford equation into anybody you draft afterward, because everybody, for the guy who couldn't make players, every player after they played with him never duplicated the stats when they left.
They have their best years with him.
Yeah.
What you're saying. Absolutely, of course.
And he was a rookie coming there, so all his stats were Matt Stafford's stats. So you got to take 2 things. You could have took the games where David Blough started with him and what he did, and then you could take what's happened after he left. And he's a good player, but he's not an $18 million player.
He also led the league in touchdowns 1 year too. He was 11, I think it was.
Right, with Matt Stafford.
Yeah, he was a good player in Detroit. Yeah. He really was.
But I'm telling you right now, New York, they ain't taking that. If he better, he's going to be on the short leash next year. They're not taking that. And when they start blaming after the season, after the coach, judge, and the quarterback Brown, they're going to be coming right over to him. Trust me.
Well, I don't think a wide receiver is the first place you go in any team.
This is New York.
But
this is New York. This is New York.
Still football.
Yeah. So we go back to that. Lions, like I said, they lost a game at the end, which they could have won.
2016, yeah.
They lose one more game, they'll have at least a second pick in the draft, which is fine with me. They don't have to have
Well, guaranteed. They still got to pass. They still got to sink past Jacksonville.
No, I said they'll at least have the second pick if they lose one more.
I said at least. Yeah, that's the best they can do.
Worst they can draft, too.
Jacksonville has to lose for them to get the first pick.
Yeah, I don't think Jacksonville's going to win another
game. I mean, Jacksonville has to win.
Right, they're not going to win another game. They're not winning another game. I thought Daryl Bevel was able to pull one out, but evidently not. And
– Well, he's got more time coming.
And a good thing, I heard that Jim Caldwell was on the short list for them. Well, list, not short list, but on the list for interviews for Jacksonville. Might be a good place for Jim Caldwell right now.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He will straighten things out in a hurry. If you want a team with character, you want an organization with character, you'll get it with Jim Caldwell, absolutely.
Well, he will try.
The difference he made here in Detroit in a very, very short time was absolutely amazing. It really was.
Yeah, like I said, he will try. But to me,
he succeeded doing that wherever he's been.
Yeah, but he had owners that would let him do what he wanted to do. You got to point the finger at Khan. You got to point the finger at the Jacksonville owner now. And I hope he lets, if Caldwell gets the job, do it. But you point the finger at him now. This is too many coaches. This has been too long. It's the owner. It is the owner, Mike.
Well, yeah, but still a coach runs the team, and I think that you've got a guy who's going to – if you hire Jim Caldwell, you're hiring him because you like what he does. You're trying to make him into something else once he gets there. You like him for what he brings to the position.
I hope that. I hope you're right.
Well, why you wouldn't hire him otherwise?
Well, he hired Urban Meyer, and he knew what was the deal with that, and he still went ahead
and did
it.
Exactly.
Okay, so
his
judgment is bad. He's got bad judgment.
Well, he has bad judgment. If he hired Caldwell, it would be an indication of good judgment because he'd get a guy who'd be something different than what he's got now.
Like I said, as long as he lets him do what he has to do and don't be putting the thumb on him and say, well, this is the way I want to run it, and I'm going to let you run it up to a point. And owners have been known to do that. Some bad owners in this league, Mike, and I just think he's one of them.
I would agree with that, but he's also had – look, we're talking about – we don't care about Jacksonville.
I know, I'm just getting called. We like calls.
Move on.
Games left. We got Seattle this week in Seattle. I hope it doesn't snow this week in Seattle. But
it snowed last week.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I don't think this is a bad matchup for the Lions because they're pretty good defensively. Not great, but pretty good defensively. And Russell Wilson, I think they got a little bit to prove, because Pete Carroll wants to close fast, and it's a home game. I don't know if the Lions can win another road game. Well, it's the last one, so I don't know if they can win on the road. I don't know if they can win on the road.
They're 2-6 in their last eight games. The chance to close fast, that's gone.
Well, I think Russell Wilson coming back from that thumb is he's got a couple performances left in him. I just think that this is a bad matchup for the Lions. Seattle runs pretty good. Lions have been good against the run recently. We'll see. Maybe we'll see. I just think this is a bad matchup for the Lions.
Well, I don't think it's anything. I don't think it's insurmountable by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
I wouldn't pick them to win, but I don't think it's. Look, their issues right now are just getting bodies out there. They got no tight ends left who played football in the National Football League, and that affects that affects a lot of their formations and a lot of the things that they do offensively. Josh Reynolds really has added something to the wide receiver core. He's got COVID. So I'd be more concerned about that than anything that that Seattle's going to do. I think that Legion of Boom and all that stuff, that's gone.
Oh, that's over.
That team doesn't exist anymore.
No, that team's over.
They had a great run. Eight playoffs in 9 years, 9 winning seasons, a Super Bowl, a second place in the Super Bowl. And really, just a great team to watch, an entertaining team.
And these may be Russell Wilson's last two games in Seattle, too.
Could be.
Yeah, could be.
Could be.
And
it's the last 8 games. His last game's on the road.
No, I said last two games in Seattle, you being the team Seattle, not the city Seattle. I mean, these last right. 2 weeks, right. Could be.
Correct.
I think they're going to move him. Right. I think they're going to move him at the end of the year. Don't touch him.
I think he's going to move. I don't think they got anything to say about it.
Don't touch him. Lions, don't touch him. Keep your draft picks. Don't touch him. Don't mortgage your future for that. Go with what you got and then get a young quarterback. Don't be trying to get one of these guys that have been in the league 10, 12 years and $34 million on your cap. Don't touch him. Don't touch him.
Well.
So, you know what?
So you would have taken Brady down in Tampa? Is that what you're saying?
Not for this team. No, not for this team.
Okay.
Not for this team. If I was ready to win, Mike, you take Brady. But, you know, the team next year is not – I don't think they're ready to win a Super Bowl, and that's the only reason not you would bring Russell Wilson in. You got a young team.
I suppose.
Young talent. You got a semi-decent quarterback now with Goff. You can draft a backup that you can hope develops to a starter 2 or 3 years from now or the end of next year. Do it that way. Don't waste $34 million of your cap on holding a quarterback when you already got 26 on a quarterback you got now on your team. So –
Well, let me just say something then, because your voice kind of dropped when you said semi-decent on Jared Goff. Well, obviously, he did not want to get involved in what the head coach said earlier this week about him being the quarterback next year, and it sort of likes the way things are going with him.
No, I'm not getting involved in it. I'm not getting involved in it.
Well.
I'm not getting involved in it. He says a lot of things. He's week to week, too. I mean, he could change his mind.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is. He's week to week.
No.
Goff, look. Because of the contract, the way they did it this year, Goff was going to be here next year anyway, so you can go ahead and say it. But that doesn't mean he's the answer. He's just here. Now
So what is semi-good then?
He's a starter. Remember we talked about Sean Hill? He's better than Sean Hill. He's a starter in the league.
Yeah.
He's a middle-of-the-pack statistic guy. He'll be, you know, he won't be 25. He'll be 15, 16, 17, somewhere like that. And that's adequate for what you're doing right now. Now, can he get better in this system? Can he grow? He's only 27 years old. Can he get better? Yes. Can he become a guy who takes you back to a Super Bowl? It's possible if the team is that good. But
well, he's done it once. Why
yeah, that's what I said.
Again?
It's possible, but I don't think it's ever going to be his team. I just don't think that he's got that talent that like Matthew had. I don't think you look at him like that. I think you just look at him as a good quarterback at best.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see. Like I said, hey, Mike, I've seen guys late. Rich Gannon late in his career became a player. I never thought he would have been earlier in his career. So we'll see. It's up to him.
He was the league MVP.
That's what I'm saying. But when you saw him come in the league when he was with Kansas City, would you think that guy would have ever been the guy that ended up being in Oakland?
Well, he came into the league drafted by the New England Patriots, and they had him listed as a wide receiver. He refused to show up.
Right.
I'm not playing wide receiver. I want to play quarterback.
So these things happen.
He was right.
Yeah, there's many ways to get a quarterback. So you got one. At least you know you have a functional NFL starter right now.
Right.
So that's your baseline. I have a functional NFL starter that's middle of the pack, and you go from there. Now, if you can upgrade. If you can't, you roll with him. So I tell you,
and here's the other thing too.
Go ahead.
And here's the other thing too. If Aaron Rodgers departs Green Bay. And you got the best quarterback in the division, or you got at least the second best quarterback in the division next year.
You think him and Cousins, he's better than Cousins?
I said at least the second best, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's true. All the Justin Fields fans that wanted to take him, he might be a good quarterback in this league. But all that yelling and screaming at the beginning of the season, this was the next franchise guy, I don't see it. I haven't seen it this year. I see he might possibly be a good quarterback, and that's possible because he does a lot of stuff, man. He stares, guys. He's athletic, but is he a quarterback? You got to show me.
Yeah.
You know, I see Stafford in his first year. I've seen Luck in his first year. I've seen a lot of these guys in the first year playing. They played a lot better than he's playing. So maybe it was a reason why he went 11, why he was the fourth or the fifth, five quarterbacks. Might be a reason, fellas. So, this is what I was going to get back to. You know who's got away with murder this year? Nobody talks about him. Big
Lamar
cap
Jackson?
Hit. No, on the Lions. Big cap hit. Won't be there next year. And he's just faded off and nobody thinks about him anymore. Trey Flowers.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Nice guy, great guy. But $19 million, never became a player. He's got a $19 million cap hit, which they're going to let go. So you're going to get some money back. I don't know how much it's going to be dead. But it just never worked out for him, man. It just never worked out.
Well, he was hurt. He was hurt the whole time he was here.
Well, that's why it never worked out. But he never worked out. But even when he was playing, Mike, he wasn't a $19 million player. He was a good player, very good player.
He was a good player.
Wasn't a game changer. And if you're paying $19 million a year, you want a game changer. So
if you say so, Ken Brown, if you say so.
I know.
I bow to your expertise.
I know you don't want to give it up for him now, but
I don't think he'll be back. I'd be surprised.
He's not coming back. He's not coming back.
Well, you don't know. He might not.
Mike, his cap number next year is like $20-something million. He's not coming back. He's
not. Kenny, if you're gonna have a cap hit and all that, you might as well have, if you're gonna give up a bunch of money to have him or not have him, you might as well have him.
Yeah, but I think this is the year where you can do it, because that's why they didn't.
We'll see.
If they would have did it this year, I thought if the cap hit wasn't as big as it was, but I on that over the cap.com, I looked at it, it's not a big hit if you do it after you can designate him after June 1st of next year.
Right.
It's not a big money hit, and like I said, it's over. It's over for him. Plus, I don't see a spot for him on the squad anyway going forward. Looks like they're tuning their D line in now with the young guys, and Okoro will be back, and Awarie's both Okoro's are there, and you got a draft coming up where you're going to take one of the two probably. So, you know, I don't see the spots anyway for him.
Well, we'll see. When July rolls around, he can't open.
Well, not July, because now – after the season ends, I got a feeling Dan Campbell's going to coach the Senior Bowl. I got a feeling they're going to be one of those two teams. Well, matter of fact, Jacksonville's going to be looking for a new coach, so they're not coaching, so they're out. So the Lions, even if they go back to third in the draft order, they'll be one of the two coaches for the Senior Bowl. And I heard him say he wouldn't mind doing it.
No, he said he wouldn't mind doing it. He said, but there's also one peril there in doing it. He says you can get locked into guys because you coach them all week, and you get locked into guys, and you know, you sort of have a blind spot for him. But that's why they have a lot of eyes looking at him, too, not just the head coach and not just the defensive line coach and whatever. Everybody looks at him, and they can talk you off the ledge if you have to.
Right. All right. Well, it's Seattle this week, Mike, and then we'll come back next week where we'll do our last one before the end of the season, and then we'll do a recap, and then we'll see the exciting offseason. The way the draft picks are coming now, it's like the Rams are picking up a little steam now. I think they got two pretty easy games. They got Baltimore and then a home game with, San Francisco. They might possibly have the 24th pick, 26th. If they win a Super Bowl, the 32nd pick. Just think if the Lions got the number one pick, the 33rd pick, and the Rams win the Super Bowl. So you have 1, 32, and 33.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be mad with that. That's not bad.
And you got to wait 24 hours to use it.
Or, this is what I always wondered. If they just decided not to pick at the end of the night, what happens? Does the next team jump up? No, does the next team jump up and get picked?
Well, if you're the next team.
That would be you, though. That would be you.
Right.
That would be you. What do you do?
Well, let me tell you, look, I'll tell you a quick story before we go. It used to be 15 minutes between picks, and the Raiders had the last two picks in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Al Davis took all 15 minutes on both picks.
Right, right.
just to aggravate the commissioner.
When that year he took Oshawn, the D-back? That was one of the two. I think that was it. I remember that. I remember when he did it. You're right.
Just Nandy Oshawn. Yeah, yep. Just to aggravate the press.
All right, Michael O'Hara, that's it for this week on the KDM Podcast. Any final thoughts? Listen to Mike and read him on DetroitLions.com. And me on the Mitch Album Show, we won't be doing any more with Hockenson until the end of the beginning of the year, so nothing next week. But they're both out there. Any closing thoughts, Mr. Mike?
Nope, that's it. Just have a good look. Have a good, safe New Year's, and we'll talk to you next week.
That's right. Stay safe out there. Keep your distance from people. And we'll see you next week here on the K&M Podcast.